Hi, this is Paul Burton at the Hamilton Spectator with my column for January 9th, 2016. The word altercation is on my don't use list, although I have been unsuccessful in banning it completely from the pages of the Spectator. It's too long, too vague, and needlessly convoluted, but police seem to love the word, so it continues to pop up in newspaper crime reports. The dictionary defines altercation as a loud argument, usually in public, but police use it to describe all manner of trouble, from family squabbles to barroom brawls to knife attacks. Like so many other large and insular organizations, police seem to avoid simple words in favor of something more complicated, altercation rather than argument or fight, individual rather than person, abrasions and contusions instead of cuts and bruises. The military, governments, and politicians try to downplay nastiness, which is why we see collateral damage instead of "we killed civilians," or they replace prison with correctional facility despite all indications to the contrary, or say underprivileged rather than poor. Unfortunately, journalists often adopt such phrases and become unwitting culprits themselves. The New York Times finally dropped the government-preferred term, quote, "enhanced interrogation techniques," end quote, and now opts simply for torture. It's all inexcusable, but all humanity seems hardwired to say more when less is required. We seem on an endless quest to find ways to avoid saying exactly what we mean. It wasn't until recently, for example, that we replaced "on the nest" or "with child" or "in a family way" with simply "pregnant," although "expecting" seems to persist. Still, most prefer "passed away" to "died" because, well, "dead" is a strong word and sounds so final. I suppose it is better than "angels carried him away" or "asleep with God" or "moved on to a better world" or a dozen others. It's like saying, "I have to visit the ladies' room," or "I'll go powder my nose," rather than saying, "excuse me, I have to pee." People throw up rather than vomit, all in the name of politeness. Vague to begin with, now it's crystal clear. Somehow we think we can cloak something allegedly embarrassing in polite euphemisms. The term janitor, for example, began as a euphemism and was later replaced by custodian. Why this noble job requires so many euphemisms is beyond me. The problem is that eventually some joker always arrives to go overboard. Hence, there must be 100 so-called funny euphemisms for getting sick. Doesn't that in itself call euphemisms into question? In fact, there may be more euphemisms for bodily functions than anything else. Originally in the name of politeness, now it's all a big joke. Tired and emotional was once used, especially by newspapers, to politely describe someone who was drunk. Today it's used ironically. Sooner or later, either euphemisms wear out their welcome and people get straighter to the point, or, for that matter, further away, or we come up with something allegedly cleverer and funnier until the word becomes offensive and insulting once again. By then, a brand new euphemism and a whole new learning curve is required. For thespec.com, this is Paul Burton.